Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
That phrase, "no creed but the Bible," is in fact a creed, and it's also not in the Bible.
Sin is a thing that's in the rearview mirror, and they're just supercharged in their sanctification. And by the way, everybody in that group, they're lying. It's a flat-out self-righteous lie. It's a lot of paint on a facade of righteousness that's not true.
We also ought never be so secure in the strength of our faith that we don't think we need to keep on learning.
It's much more Roman Catholic in terms of the Middle Ages, you know, to see the choirs in that light. As performers, they do the singing while the congregation just sits there and observes. In a lot of ways, contemporary music in the church, led by the praise band and the singers with microphones in front of the congregation, has encouraged that very same thing to happen today.
Northern Illinois chainsaw drivers, love, Issues Etc.
What if you couldn't admit you're a sinner? What if you couldn't confess your sins? What if your theology was such that to say or admit that you had done something wrong would mean that it would make you a sinner? Or to say or admit that you were sick would make you sick? And you were bound to, well, not acknowledge your sin and always declare yourself healthy and wealthy and wise. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, October the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It will be This Week in Pop Christianity. First up today, we'll be talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith about David Crank's teaching about mind over reality. Then we will conclude Issues Etc. Reformation Week, talking with Rachel Gernhardt about her trip from evangelicalism to Lutheranism, and Katie Price Vogel, her journey from Roman Catholicism to confessional Lutheranism. We'll round it all off with Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got our 4 sound bites ready to play for you. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, via Twitter at issuesetc, or via email talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity today, David Crank's teaching on mind over reality, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What is a Word Faith teacher, and is David Crank one of them?
Yes, David Crank is definitely a Word of Faith teacher. And the Word of Faith doctrine, it's basically a variant of what we get from the mind science cults like Christian Science. And what it teaches is that the negative outcomes that have occurred in your life are the result of bad thinking or negative confessions. And so in order to become the person you were supposed to be, or to get better results in your life, maybe you're struggling with financial issues, maybe you're unhealthy, things of this nature, that what you need to do is to kind of well up within yourself faith that your words can create reality, and then by speaking those faith-filled words, your words, your mind, your thinking has a bearing then on the results that you have. So it's kind of an idea of mind over matter or mind over reality. And you'll note that as we're listening to David Crank talking about these concepts, this theology, number one, he twists scripture, but number two, that he's going to be providing the people there at Faith Church St. Louis an alternative doctrine as it relates to sanctification rather than what the Bible teaches along those lines. And this is one of the things that makes it very, very dangerous, is that it'll cut people off from the true from true biblical sanctification and holiness, and replace it with basically a really cheap counterfeit that engages in a denial of reality.
You mentioned Faith Church in St. Louis. Just tell us a little bit about David Crank. He's kind of, I call him local word faith royalty,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. So so David and Nicole Crank, he co-pastors with his wife, Nicole. He inherited his church from his father, you know, just so you know, his father kind of planted it. And then when his father's health took a turn and he died, David Crank kind of ascended to the throne there. And you're right, he is local St. Louis royalty. When you think of David Crank in the St. Louis area, it's very much akin to the way people think of Joel Osteen down in Houston. And so he is on TBN, major so-called Christian channels, and his books, his wife's television program, and even his own television program have a very, very far reach. And so he's an extremely wealthy man within the Word of Faith televangelist circles.
Is what we're going to be hearing here pretty much mainstream word faith teaching? If you walk into one of these churches that's Word of Faith, or sometimes I say name it, claim it, is he doing anything new here?
He's not doing anything new, with one exception. In the last soundbite, in soundbite number 3, we're going to hear him say something that I haven't heard any Word of Faith person say. And so, but we'll save that for soundbite number 3. The best way I can put it is, this is your standard fare Word of Faith indoctrination, with one exception in soundbite 3, and we'll explain that when we get there.
So what should we be listening for here in the first bite?
Okay, so in this first soundbite, I want you to be listening to him saying these words, "As a man thinketh, so is he." This is classic Word of Faith doctrine, where they're taking a portion of a sentence from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, from the King James Version. That's kind of the important bit. And they have turned it into a full-blown emphasis or doctrine, if you would. And this becomes the underpinning of the Word of Faith idea, that your thoughts are what create reality. And then we'll unpack that on the other side of it.
That happy, relaxed feeling that makes you feel okay is different from the toxicity of thought. That's why the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so is he. Everybody shout it, all churches. As a man thinketh, so is he. One more time, loud. What? As a man thinketh, so is he. So you think bad, you live bad. You think hyper, you live hyper. You think aggravated, you'll be aggravated. Because there's a lot going on up there. Raise your hand at all campuses if there's more going on than you actually thought were going on up there, right? So we change the way our our brain, our hypochondriac, we're hyper, so this is actually sending and secreting chemicals that are messing with us. Again, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This week, for instance, Cynthia Mandel, incredible woman from our church in Florida. Give it up for Cynthia. She's had a life change. She was sexually assaulted and abused when she was a little girl, about 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10, and the guy would give her suckers, and so it led her to an eating disorder. And when I met her through our television ministry, actually through Joel Osteen, I was speaking with Joel, and she said, "That's my pastor." She came. She's lost a couple hundred pounds. She's in charge of her life. She's actually very, very wealthy. She took me and Nicole to the car, to the airport in her car, because she changed the way she was thinking, Cynthia did, so she changed the way she's living.
Okay, Chris, take that apart if you would.
Okay, so we'll start with the last thing we heard, that and this is, you know, if you think of it, their doctrine is kind of sloganized. So he says, if you've changed the way you are thinking, you will change the way you are living. Everything within this Word of Faith doctrine requires you to think positively, to change the way you think so that it affects changes in your natural life. And I would note, this is a very cheap and tawdry and counterfeit substitute for biblical sanctification, which teaches us something very different. But you'll note that at the beginning of the soundbite, he quoted Proverbs 23, verse 7 out of context. And so here are the words out of context from the King James: "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." But you'll note that that doesn't really tell us anything about what's going on. So one of the things I point people to is that in order to rightly understand a biblical text, you need to put things back into their context and look at the whole statement. So the text in question, you know, the point that the Proverbs are making here begins at verse 6. And here's what it says in the King James, and then I'll clean it up with the ESV a little bit, because none of us speaks this way anymore. It says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meat. meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Now, this sounds like something from Shakespeare. So, and like I said, none of us talks this way. So if we put it into a modern translation, for instance, like the ESV, this will help us better understand what this text is talking about. And it's warning us, do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsels that you have eaten and waste your pleasant words. So the idea then here is that the Proverbs are telling us, if we are in the company of somebody who is stingy, an idolater in the sense that they worship money and everything is about money and they would rather die than give a penny to anybody, when somebody like that is offering you food or whatever, and you're in their home, they don't really want you to eat it because they're calculating how much it's going to cost them. And when they say, oh, go ahead and have some, they really don't mean it. That's what this is talking about. So you'll note that a big core doctrine, verse in this doctrine that is put forward, is Proverbs 23, verse 7, out of context, quoted only half the verse, and in the King James, because it creates the impression that what they're saying is true, that you as you think, so you are. But when you consider the implications then of this, 1 John chapter 1 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the one who denies that he has sinned makes God out to be a liar. So you'll note this positive thinking here creates, if you would, kind of a toxic positivity that cuts somebody off from speaking the truth about themselves, that they are a sinner, that they are unclean, that they were conceived and born in sin, that they have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. That this positive confession concept and this false idea that the Bible teaches that we are as we think cuts us off from confessing our sins to God, and then when it comes to sanctification, cuts us off from the biblical doctrine of repentance and mortification of our flesh.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about David Crank's teaching regarding mind over reality. We'll talk about automatized thinking next. Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Now that you're preparing for this year's Advent season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off, and they're held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas hearkening back to the age of glitter balls. Come and see Ad Crucem's wonderful collection of Christmons and our other Christmas ornaments. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new Dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
Gazing upon the beauty of God's creation is a powerful way to recover beauty in this digital age. The psalmist declares, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The beauty of the Lord is seen in worship as we encounter the particular beauty of the cross of Christ and receive the beautiful gift of God's word and sacraments. And yet, the beauty of God bursts out beyond the house of the Lord into every nook and cranny of his creation. It's from the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, Redeeming Technology, A Christian Approach to Healthy Digital Habits. You can find this at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, Redeeming Technology. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about David Crank's teaching about mind over reality. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, what are we going to hear next from David Crank?
So David Crank now is going to talk about something that is not found in the Bible anywhere, and I'm questioning whether or not it's even sound neuroscience. But his claim is that bad thoughts equate what turn into you not being the person you're supposed to be. And so he's trying to teach us to apply something towards creating what are called automatized thoughts. And they can be either positive or negative. He's trying to teach us how to automatize positive thoughts.
So here's what I want you to understand. You cannot control your environment, but you can certainly control how it affects your brain. Can't control that person at work. Can't control the surroundings, you can't control the economy, you can't control the weather, but you can control you. Now, here's the question I have to ask you. This is important right now because this is a hook. This is to get you in touch with your feelings. Do you feel like a victim or a victor? I mean, I know that's the right thing to say, but you have to ask yourself that tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do I feel like a victim right now, or do I feel like a victor? Because there's going to be thoughts swarming through your brain, in your frontal lobe, in your conscious mind. And here's a word I want you to write down: automatized. Automatized. The neurosurgeons tell me that an automatized thought is when you think it, and then you think it enough, and it becomes automatized in your brain. And it takes, that's why I said you can't miss any of these four sessions, because it takes a minimum of 21 days to automatize a thought. And that's why now you're uncomfortable with your life, because your life didn't turn out like it was supposed to. So you know you're not being who you were supposed to be. You're this other version of you that you don't even like. So the thought that was swarming around in your brain started firing together and wiring together, and now you think, I am an alcoholic. I cannot control myself. I always go back to porn. I always go back to alcohol. It is not always. It is not never. Now you're reprogramming it. And if you didn't believe in God, however we do, but if you didn't believe in God, this works through the brain that God made. So if you will use your brain with supernatural help and go to the right church and do what's right, you will literally reform your brain through an automatized thought. Go ahead, give God praise today.
Okay, Chris, I don't have a medical degree. You don't have a medical degree, but that sounded pretty fishy anyway.
Yeah, no, it sounded really fishy. And you'll note here is that if the Holy Spirit intended for us to experience Christian sanctification, and this is the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of the Spirit within us, then the Bible would have taught a doctrine similar to what he's saying without all the medical jargon. But you're going to note, and this is where we're going to have to parse some of the things out that he said here. And he said that, you know, that basically the idea is bad thoughts will equal or turn into the result of you not being the person that you're supposed to be. And then he gave an example of somebody who is an alcoholic. And you'll say things like, quote, I'm an alcoholic. And he said it as if saying that the person who says they're an alcoholic, that they're saying something erroneous, or somebody who's struggling with porn addiction or other kinds of sins. Here's the issue, is that by the way he's talking, He's making it sound like that we are wrong if we were to confess our sins. And not only that, Scripture is very clear where those things come from. They are not the result of negative thinking. Or if you think back to, you know, one of those Chris Farley characters, or you think of like Deep Thoughts with, you know, Jack Handy and things like this, the idea of stinking thinking, that these things are not the result of stinking thinking. Galatians 5 says it this way: if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, they are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we see that the source then of all of these sins, and note, drunkenness was thrown into the mix here. I use that as a touch point because he's basically saying that if you engage in bad thinking, you will become a version of you that you don't like. And the solution then is for you to think positively. And so you'll erroneously say, I'm an alcoholic. But the idea then here is that rather than this being a result of humanity's fall into sin and the fact that our human nature has been corrupted by sins, you see, sin is at first a condition before it is a behavior. And this is where we are very different than a lot of people, because a lot of people believe that committing a sin makes you a sinner. But we recognize what Scripture says in the doctrine of original sin, that there has been a corruption through and through as a result of man's fall into sin. And so we recognize that sin is a condition. It is a condition that manifests in behaviors. And so he's basically saying that the sins that people are manifesting are not the result of man's fallen condition. Instead, they are merely the result of negative thinking. Therefore, the solution is to think positively. And this is a tacit denial of the doctrine of original sin. It is impossible then with this doctrine to truly bear the fruit of the Spirit and really put to death and mortify our sinful flesh, because it doesn't correctly understand the real problem that we all face and what the real solution is: the forgiveness of our sins, and then through the Holy Spirit, bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. This is something very different.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about David Crank's teaching, Mind Over Reality. When we come back, our third cut from David Crank, and something that Chris says he's never heard from a Word Faith teacher before. Have you considered how your time spent on social media, in front of a screen, or texting your friends is affecting both your physical and spiritual well-being? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is Redeeming Technology, A Christian Approach to Healthy Digital Habits. Learn more about Redeeming Technology at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Redeeming Technology.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Mark with David's son and Beware the Scribes, the widow's offering, signs of the end, the gospel preached to all nations, and the abomination of desolation. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In all things, across the nation, children are back in over 1,800 Lutheran schools. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring, Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Contact a school today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family. That's lcms.org/schools.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacrament faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. and the Divine Service at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Life, liberty, what does this mean? The Northern Illinois District Life Task Force invites you to the 4th Annual Life and Liberty Lecture so you can hear more and make the bold confession of Christ and Him crucified for the life of the world. Featured presenters are Issues Etc. guests Dr. Alan Carlson and Katie Faust. Saturday, October 30th, Bethany Lutheran Church, Naperville, Illinois. Find out more and register at nidlcms.org/life.
Out goes the sermon proclamation, in comes the TED Talk. Out goes the anchoring presence of Christ's altar, in comes the pulsating drum set. Out goes the preacher covering his own sinfulness with vestments, in comes the pop star wannabe. These are not neutral swaps.
Instead of accepting the word of God, it is very tempting to twist the obvious meaning into something that sounds more gospelly.
If the bishops are being partisan, then we don't have to listen to them. If the bishops are being partisan, that means they're being unreasonable. But the fact is that the church didn't decide to defend human life because it's inconvenient for Democrats.
As Lutherans, we emphasize the distinction between law and gospel. But it should not be understood as it's the law versus the gospel, as in the law is bad, the gospel is good.
1 hour from now, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four soundbites for you, and after you've heard them in their entirety, you can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, David Crank's teaching about mind over reality. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So, Chris, we come to the third cut, and you said before that there's something in it that you've never heard from a Word Faith teacher before.
Right. And that is that critics of the Word of Faith heresy have always pointed out that those who affirm this false doctrine end up denying reality. And in the past, Word of Faith people would say, no, we're not denying reality. That's not what this is all about. Odd thing here, in this soundbite, we're going to have David Crank legitimately say that his positive confessions are not true. Just listen to it.
So this is where, when you rewire your brain, certain people say certain things I just won't say. Like people say, I'm getting old. I would never say that. I just don't say that. Because I'm just getting fat. I never, ever, ever, ever say that. I don't even say I got a belly. I say I got abs. I know it's not true, but I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Go with me on this right now. So what is happening is the information that is going inside your soul, in your subconscious mind, you have to capture those thoughts. That's why the Bible said again, casting down all imaginations and every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So when the thought comes to your mind, you can either process that in this big old giant processor you have and automatize it and think, I'm always fat, I'm always fat, I'm always fat. I always find losers, I always find losers, I always find, no. When you automatize it, now you're saying, my family had a predisposition for being big boned and retaining water. But that's not me. Because I'm not going to eat what they ate. I'm not going to think like they thought. And I'm going to renew my mind because I can be who God called me to be. And I'm going to be that. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Through the rewiring of my brain.
So what about that was novel in Word Faith teaching?
Was when he said, I don't say I have a belly, I have abs. And then he immediately said, I know it's not true. That's the first time I've ever heard any of these guys admit that what their positive affirmations, that they are not true. But he claimed the justification for that as a twisting of Romans chapter 4, particularly verse 17, where it says of God that God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. By the way, if you read Romans 4 in context, this is a bit great argument, a Reformation week argument for salvation by grace through faith apart from works. It's talking about how God has the ability, ex nihilo, to call into existence the things that do not exist, and more importantly, to forgive sinners and declare them to be righteous. That's the point of what's going on here, but he's misappropriated this text, which is talking about a power that God has, and says, because I am calling into things, you know, into existence the things that are not. He's basically taken God's divine prerogative here in Romans 4:17 and applied it to himself. But he admitted that his positive affirmations are speaking things that are not true. Which is, in reality, a denial of reality. It's to sit there and say, I have abs when I have a beer gut is just lunacy. In fact, you know, Satan himself is the father of lies. I remember the late Walter Martin used to tell a joke about Christian Scientists, and he would tell a joke about, because they always claim that they have this, that the way you overcome things is by denying reality. He says that you can always tell a Christian Scientist in hell, because he's off in one corner of the pit looking kind of despondent and saying to himself, I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. But see, this is no way to produce the fruit of the Spirit, or for the Holy Spirit to produce in you his fruit through sanctification. This is a denial of reality, and this is not what Christ has called us to do. And for him to say that, you know, that I'm telling you to affirm things that are not true of yourself, that was the novelty there.
So he slipped up a little bit, and I've noticed two things here that I want to discuss before we let you go, and that is, he, unlike other Word Faith teachers, and I actually saw his father preach in person 30 plus years ago, they focused a lot on money.
Yeah.
Wealth and health were the two big themes. But I've noticed that this is a little slightly kind of softened thing, where it's like, be the person God made you to be, whatever that happens to mean to you. Maybe a little more, not as overtly, God's going to fill up your bank account or going to keep you from having cancer if you just think the right things.
Yeah. So you'll note there's been a softening of the emphasis on money and health within the Word of Faith heresy. And I think that this is a survival tactic on their part. They still affirm the basic doctrine, but in their teaching, they don't as overtly as they have in the past emphasize, like Ken Copeland does, wealth and prosperity and health. The reason being is because it's too easy to lose your audience quickly in that regard, because when people, you know, truly have an illness that is not going to be healed in this lifetime, or, you know, things like this, it's too easy. If you're promising them that God's going to heal them, and they go through all the steps, they send in the money and all this kind of stuff, and they don't get the healing, or if you say you send in $1,000 seed offering, God's going to make you a millionaire, it's too easy to lose your audience. And so they're trying to keep them on the line a little bit longer by being a little more vague about what it is that they could experience, but still teaching the basic principle. Your positive thoughts will create the positive outcome that you desire so that you can become the optimal you that you can be in this lifetime. And so whether that's money or health or influence or whatever, the solution's always the same, Word of Faith heresy. But they're not as overt, because then they can have a broader appeal, and it takes a lot longer to kind of realize that these people are teaching stuff that's false.
And the other thing is what you pointed out earlier. If you consistently believe and practice this, you cannot, must not confess your sins.
Yes. And this is where people I've run into and have helped out of the Word of Faith heresy, this is where they always go with this, is that they will basically say that what ends up taking place is this absolute fear of speaking the truth about yourself. And I have heard Word of Faith ministers in the past say that if you confess that you are a sinner, then you will become a sinner. So you don't dare say that you are a sinner. And so what happens is that when you are struggling with something that you know is absolutely displeasing to God, contrary to his commandments, you can't say the truth about yourself. You can't say, I have sinned against God. You can't say the words that David says, against you and you only have I sinned. And so what ends up happening is that positive confession and the word of faith heresy cut you off from speaking the brutally negative truth that is true about all of us, that we are by nature sinful and unclean. In their way of thinking, if I say that, then those words will create the negative outcome. But in scripture, it makes it clear that if we confess our sins, God will forgive us our sins. And so rather than being, you know, speaking negatively being something that will create a problem for us, speaking the negative truth that we are sinners is the thing that then we cry out to God for mercy, and we receive then the forgiveness of our sins because of what Christ has merited for us. And so you'll note that this heresy not only leads people down the primrose path of like delusion and denial of reality, it cuts them off from the gospel and the forgiveness of sins that is in Christ by teaching them they can't say the truth about themselves.
Why do we confess our sins?
Because scripture says to. The law, Romans 3 makes it clear that the law was given to silence us and to basically hold us all accountable to God, to show us that we are sinners. So we recognize that the scripture working law and gospel, the law shows us our sin. And so when we are shown our sin, we are left in that terrifying, awkward position of saying, oh my goodness, I'm guilty. I have sinned against God. I've sinned against others. And that's what the law does. And so the Holy Spirit, through the law, convicts us of our sin and teaches us to confess, to say the same thing as God, that we are guilty, that we are sinners. But it doesn't end there. In that awkward position that where we stand before God completely guilty, this is where the gospel then comes in and says, and Christ, he has taken your sin upon himself, the spotless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he was pierced for our transgressions. So the sinner then who recognizes his sin through the law, which the Holy Spirit is working through the preaching of that law, then hears the words of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit quickens in him confidence and faith in Christ, trusting in the promises of the forgiveness of our sins. You see, confessing our sins is a vital part of receiving the forgiveness of sins. And that's why we're called to confess.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He is creator and host of the YouTube channel titled Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, here are some of the issues covered in the November edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Proverbs 31 woman, 5 low-cost ways to beautify your church, Christian citizenship in a cynical age, advice from Martin Luther for comforting those who are mourning, and more. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Learn more by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or at lcms.org/witness. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, lcms.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040. Rachel Gernhardt joins us for part 6 of our Issues Etc. Reformation Week today. We'll be talking about from evangelicalism to Lutheranism.
Have you ever picked up a copy of the Book of Concord and been overwhelmed by it? There's a whole bunch of difficult names and documents and apologies and formula of concords and epitomes and solid declarations, and before you know it, you don't even know where you are in the book. Well, if you've had this question, you'll be interested in picking up the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, your reader's guide to the Book of Concord. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or learn more on the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.